and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
Morning, everyone. It is the Ides of October. I mean, you challenged me on that. It's a real thing. It's not just the Ides of March.
I've never heard the Ides of October.
Well, the 15th of October. It's the Ides. It's the same
deal. So what happened on the Ides of October?
Well, it was a few months after the Ides of March.
Caesar's already dead.
Yeah, he's still dead. Everyone have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was nice. I saw a good play.
You saw a good play? Oh, we'll talk about that.
Yeah. A Ferryman on Broadway. Very good.
Ferryman?
Yeah, Irish play. Very good. Excellent.
I have a funny story to tell you what happened to me on a flight to Boston. But first, our big three of the
can't
story.
Can't wait for that.
Well, you be the judge. Okay. Trust me, you're going to like the story. Okay. Even Natalie's going to find this amusing. Our big three, the president goes on 60 Minutes, wide-ranging from Mueller to the Saudi controversy to climate change to the mocking of Dr. Ford. Also in our big three. And we'll have this in our next segment. That controversial Proud Boys-related brawl on the Upper East Side. Who are the Proud Boys? What was that all about? It was right versus left, and Governor Cuomo is now chastising the right, and big controversy.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Proud Boys, they are a far-right group. They call themselves Western chauvinists. I mean, I have no use for those people, but they spoke, and they have every right to speak, and then the left went nutty and crazy. What concerns me, though, is the way Governor Cuomo and Tish James, the public advocate, have come out now and said they're not going to stand for hate speech. They want to prosecute hate speech. They want to stop these people from speaking. I mean, we live in a country that has a First Amendment that protects speech that is very offensive. Cute, Len. Cute. That was cute.
No, make your little speech. I like that.
It's an important speech to be made. What is the point of the First Amendment if it does not protect speech that we find offensive? And you've got the left out there, led by Governor Censorship Cuomo, calling for investigations into these people because they said things that he doesn't like and disagrees with. That is not America.
All right. Rounding out our big three, what's the bigger gossip story? Meghan Markle is pregnant? Or Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande are Splitsville. We've got to figure that one out. We have Rascals tickets. How about that? Remember the Rascals? Everyone loves
Oh, yeah.
That.
We love the Rascals.
Well, we've got Rascal tickets all this week, and we'll have them for you at 8:30. So I'm getting off the plane in Boston.
Right.
And we're waiting for the door to open. The guy taps me on my back. I swear to God, he says, "Are you Bernie Madoff?"
That is a good story.
Are you Bernie Madoff? Wow.
I guess he thinks all crooks look alike.
Did you say? You know, I said, I'm Bernie Vider.
I was so stunned. I think my wife said, no, he's not. I've been called. People thought I was Marv Albert. I was once in Brooklyn filming a story at the old Ebbets Field, and the young lady walked up to me and said, "Are you Walter Cronkite?" And I said, "No, I wasn't." But I was never. Are you Bernie Madoff? I mean, yeah, they let Bernie out of prison so he could go attend
Boston.
A bat mitzvah in Boston.
He looks a little like him. He put a little baseball cap on him. I think he could pass for Bernie Madoff.
My wife says when my glasses are down on the tip of my nose. What do you think, Natalie? Bernie Madoff?
Not at all.
Is that unbelievable?
No.
That really happened.
Clark Gable.
Yeah, right.
All right, Steve Roberts, ABC News political analyst, and there's a lot to analyze this morning. Steve, good morning. I guess we should start with 60 Minutes, no?
Yeah, by the way, you know, if you hadn't worn that orange jumpsuit, I don't think
that I would have been home scot-free.
The handcuffs gave it away.
You got to ditch the orange jumpsuit.
Good advice.
You know, Yeah, 60 Minutes, I thought the president was pretty good. He was kind of steady and stable, and, you know, he had his riffs that people would object to, you know, saying he didn't really mock Dr. Blasey Ford. And, of course, he did. They showed the clip of him mocking it, and he said, no, I was not mocking her. But you didn't get the kind of the hysterical, impulsive Donald Trump that you sometimes get at rallies and sometimes get in other interviews. He's trying clearly very hard to be presidential in a good sense. And so, you know, the critics are going to look at that and say, you know, he said a lot of things that weren't true, which is accurate, but came across as almost reasonable, which is surprising for this president.
Steve, his poll numbers are up. Is he going to be able to stem that blue wave that seems to be headed his way?
Well, the polls are up slightly for him, but they're headed in the right direction. ABC Washington Post poll out this weekend. We asked this generic question: are you likely to vote Democratic or Republican for the House in the fall? Last time we asked in August, Democrats had a 14-point lead. That's down to 11. That's not a big switch, but it's headed in the right direction for Republicans. The real problem here for Republicans is the female vote. Men say they're going to vote Democrat. They're going to vote Republican by 2 points. Women say they're going to vote Democratic by 22 points. And you look at independent women, and they say they favor Democrats 62 to 29. That's more than 2 to 1. And the real reason, I think there are many reasons for this, but at the core is that the economic issue is working better with men than women. They are looking at the economy. They're looking at unemployment. They're looking at inflation. They're looking at the stock market. And they kind of ignore some of the president's personal problems and focus on the economy, whereas we're seeing with women voters, they're more likely to be worried about his impulsiveness, more likely to say he's not a very good role model for my kids. And so there is this enormous gender gap. We've had a gender gap in this country for a long time, but this is the biggest I've ever seen, guys.
Hey, Steve, we know a lot of the polls were predicting a Hillary Clinton win 2 years ago. Have the pollsters, and you study this stuff, have they kind of corrected their models to be a little more accurate this time around?
They've tried. It's hard because people don't have landlines anymore. And when people had landlines, you could tell where they lived and you could get a much clearer picture. They're using more computer-based models, computer questions. But the key, one of the keys here is to measure intensity. How likely are people to vote? You can't just say, who do you favor? You've got to factor in intensity. And that's one of the things that Trump used to win the last time. In key states, his people were more energized. They were more motivated. What people failed to see was how tepid the support was for Hillary Clinton. And a lot of people who told pollsters they were for her didn't bother to vote. If you look at the intensity question this year, women say they're about 70% of women tell us it's important to vote, and only 62% of men say that's important. And so the intensity advantage, which Trump had 2 years ago, seems to be swinging toward the Democrats, and particularly among women voters who seem to be more highly energized.
We are on with Steve Roberts, the ABC News political analyst in Washington, joins us every week at this time. Steve, is this Saudi mystery going to be the next big diplomatic issue here? The president says he doesn't want to stop any arms sales. He says he'll do other things. What other things can he do?
Well, that's a very good question. It's hard to know. There are probably other sanctions that can be placed on the Saudis, but the president's been very clear. And you heard this in the 60-minute interview. He kept circling back to one issue, and that was jobs. And let's remember that was at the core of the reason why he got elected, promising to restore American jobs, and particularly manufacturing jobs. And he's had trouble keeping that promise. And the last thing he wants is for these major contracts to be in jeopardy, because it's a part of the core of his political appeal. So he is going to place economic issues ahead of humanitarian issues, ahead of diplomatic issues, ahead of these larger moral questions that have people, his critics, very concerned. You know, if you get past economic sanctions, there aren't too many other levers of power that you have with the Saudis.
It's true. And Steve, I mean, they are, for better or for worse, our ally. I don't think any president, Democrat or Republican, could just easily ditch the Saudis.
Well, no, they've been very important, not only as business partners, but, you know, the Saudis play a double game. Yeah. They've also financed a lot of bad actors around the Middle East, too. It's not as if that they are totally loyal friends to us, but yeah. They are very, very powerful. And, you know, given their oil revenues, they have the ability to unhinge the international oil markets. We've seen that in the past. Mm-hmm. They have as much power to do damage to us as we do. We have power to do damage to them.
Hey, Steve, the president just tweeted, and I'll read you the tweet. The crowds at my rallies are far bigger than I've ever been before, including the 2016 election. Never an empty seat in these large venues. Many thousands of people watching screens outside. Enthusiasm and spirit is through the roof, all caps. Something big is happening. Watch. Is it possible the sheer force of his personality can bring the Republicans across the finish line at the elections coming up in a few weeks?
Well, look, pollsters and analysts have been wrong about this man before, so you got to take him seriously. But our polling data shows that he still very much underwater when it comes to public approval. His favorable rating is 41% in our polls. Now, that's up 5 points from August, and yet this is the lowest number that an incumbent president has had going into his first midterm election since Harry Truman in 1946. So he can talk about the crowds, and there's no doubt that his core supporters are wildly enthusiastic, and there's no doubt that the Kavanaugh hearings helped with that group, and there's no doubt that in red states where there are key Senate races, that's probably going to be an asset in Missouri or South Dakota or Indiana. But in the suburbs of big cities, as we've said many times, which is these are the districts that are going to decide this election, female voters are not favorable to this. They're looking at those big rallies, and it's turning them off.
Steve, we've got to run. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week, but all good points, and the polling stuff particularly fascinating. Thank you, Steve Roberts, ABC News. When we get back, we've got your Rascals tickets we're going to give away, and who are the Proud Boys, and what was that brawl all about? We've got Alice Stockton Rossini on the scene of the crime, and that's all coming up, but first, let's check out Bernie Vider in traffic.
10 WOR.
Hey, good morning, everybody. 840, Alice Stockton Rossini is up there at that snooty Metropolitan Club, or was the melee.
What was that thing all about?
Well, Proud Boys? Proud Boys. It's a far right wing group, and the founder of it spoke at the very hoity-toity Metropolitan Club, where I've spoken. And lefties were upset about it, and there was some sort of brawl out in the street, and now you got Cuomo calling an investigation on hate speech, but it was probably the left wing.
Sure.
It was the left wing.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It was the left wing. It's all their fault. Yeah. Anyway, we'll check in with Alice Stockton Rossini. We'll see if she got into the club.
Well, here's what Cuomo had to say.
We will not tolerate hate speech. It is not protected. It is illegal. Mm. We will investigate it to the fullest.
There you go.
We'll see about that. I think Cuomo needs a lesson in the Constitution. Anyway, breaking news on CNN. Now, is this really qualify for breaking news?
Well, everything's breaking news.
Elizabeth Warren has given her DNA tests to the Boston Globe.
She has.
And I guess the tests show that she's got a little Native American blood in her. You know, breaking news, no. But what this tips me off to is that she seriously is considering running for the Democratic nomination for president to go up against Donald Trump, or she would not have given those DNA tests to the Boston Globe.
She's one of the president's favorite foils.
They've gone so far left that they consider Pocahontas to be a rational person. Oh, it's crazy. Elizabeth Warren. Oh, I hope she runs. I hope she runs. Then we can finally get down to the fact as to whether or not she has Indian blood.
Yeah, well we are.
Well, she took a DNA test. She released it to the Boston Globe. And listen to this, Michael. Mm-hmm. This is serious stuff. The Stanford professor found that the vast majority of Warren's heritage is European, but that one ancestor born in the late 1700s was partially Native American. So there you go.
I'm glad we got it cleared up. You know what would be a great ticket for your team?
What do you mean my team?
Elizabeth Warren and Maxine Waters.
Oh, yeah, that'll go far.
I hope the Democrats nominate Elizabeth Warren. Well, I really do.
Speaking of Democrats, the other news over the weekend was Hillary Clinton was on CBS Sunday Morning, and she actually addressed the Monica Lewinsky deal with her husband, and her comments stirred up a little bit of controversy there, Michael.
There are people who look at the incidents of the 90s, and they say a president of the United States cannot have a consensual relationship with an intern. The power imbalance is too great.
Who was an adult. But let me ask you this. Where's the investigation of the current incumbent against whom numerous allegations have been made and which he dismisses, denies, and ridicules? So there was an investigation, and it, as I believe, came out in the right place.
Well, a couple of things there. Number one, the fact that Monica Lewinsky was an adult is irrelevant because she was an intern and
exactly.
She was underneath the power of the president. And number two, I love the fact that she's doing the whataboutism, because every time Trump is accused of something, he says, well, what about Hillary? So
yeah,
Hillary's saying, what about Trump? Hillary.
How did she make that money in those cattle futures, Len? Was that ever thoroughly investigated?
I don't know anything about that.
In retrospect, do you think Bill should have resigned in the wake of the Monica Lewinsky scandal?
Absolutely not.
It wasn't an abuse of power?
No.
It wasn't.
There you go.
There you go, Riedel.
Do you remember when all of her feminist friends dumped all over poor Monica Lewinsky? They said she was a little bit nutty and a little bit slutty. Remember that? Do you remember that?
I do.
All the feminists coming out to trash her? Hypocrites, the lot of them, Len. Hypocrites, the lot of them.
You know what we're going to do all this week at this time? We're giving away tickets to... Groovy.
On a Sunday afternoon. It's now your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees Felix Cavallari and Gene Cornish's Rascals with special guest on drums, Carmine Appice of Vanilla Fudge, and co-headliner Ronnie Spector, Friday, October 26th at Town Hall here in New York City. I want you to be caller number 23 at 1-800-321-0710. If you're 23 at 1-800-321-0710, you are the winner. Tickets are on sale now at the Town Hall box office and at Ticketmaster.com. And now let's get the news at 8:30 from Joe Bartlett. Good morning, Joe.
Morning, Michael. We are getting word of the death of a police officer over in New Jersey, killed in an accident early this morning. This is a police officer from Hillside, New Jersey, who died in an accident on Route 1 in Linden involving his vehicle and a tractor trailer. That's about all we know right now. Police officer from Hillside, New Jersey. Another passenger in his car has been taken to the Newark Hospital in serious condition. This happened this morning. 38-year-old New York City firefighter injured while battling a fire at a marijuana grow house in the Bronx. Fire Commissioner Daniel Nigro says the firefighter fell from a ladder while fighting this fire on Mayflower Avenue.
Very early in the operation, the firefighter who was assigned to the roof position was climbing to the roof on a 35-foot extension ladder, apparently lost his footing, fell 30 feet to the pavement below.
He is going to be okay, but he did suffer some severe injuries. Unclear if the marijuana played any role in that fire. As of today, 18 New Jersey Transit trains are going to be suspended for the next 3 months, adding to a new inconvenience for the riders. The suspension due to that federally mandated update to safety technology has to be in place by the end of the year, so New Jersey Transit rushing to get that done. Over in New Jersey as well, a state worker says no charges were ever filed after she reported she was sexually assaulted by a former aide to Governor Murphy. Katie Brennan claims she was sexually attacked in her home by Albert Alvarez after he asked to use her bathroom back in April of 2017. She tells the Wall Street Journal she was evaluated for sexual assault at a nearby hospital, but her complaints to the cops and the prosecutor fell on deaf ears. No charges were filed. Alvarez, though, resigned last week after Brennan went and met with the governor. Murphy said in a statement the allegations were handled appropriately. Well, President Trump says he has no plans to stop the investigation of special counsel Robert Mueller. He refused to promise it would stay that way, though. Either way, the president says there was no collusion.
Do you really think I'd call Russia to help me with an election? Give me a break. They wouldn't be able to help me at all. Call Russia. It's so ridiculous.
Just one of the many prime moments of the 60 Minutes interview last night.
Did you think this was the top moment here?
I'm president and you're not.
Yeah, he wiped the floor with Leslie Stahl.
I'm president and you're not.
Yeah.
There's a lot of eye-opening comments he made, including the one that he doesn't like Attorney General Jeff Sessions because he recused himself from the investigation, but at this point he's probably going to stay. Our news brought to you by Premier Osteoarthritis Centers. Treatment for arthritis pain. Call 1-855-OLD-KNEE, 855-653-5633. And by the way, the president also made some news, not based on what he said, but what we saw in the 60 Minutes interview. I don't know if you picked up on it, but there was a painting that was spotted hanging outside the Oval Office featuring President Trump sitting at a table with other Republican presidents with a Diet Coke in front of him. Here it is. This is it. Abraham Lincoln, Ronald Reagan, Richard Nixon, George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, Teddy Roosevelt, Gerald Ford, Dwight Eisenhower, Calvin Coolidge, Warren Harding, all at the table with Trump. That's hanging outside the Oval Office.
You said it's a Diet Coke?
He's got a Diet Coke.
He's got a Diet Coke.
So there's a commercial. There you go. Diet Coke.
You remember the poker playing dogs?
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's taken.
Yeah, Nixon's got Malbec there, Len.
Going crazy on Twitter this morning.
That's right.
And it is on our website, 710WOR/Lenemark.
Wow. All right. Thank you, Mr. Bartlett. When we come back, Alice Stockton Rossini is outside the Metropolitan Club, where the war between the left and the right has begun. And your chance to win $1,000 is coming up at 9:05 on 710WOR. Now let's get the traffic from Bernie Biden.
At 8:40, we're going to delve into this Proud Boys. I got to tell you, I never, ever heard of the Proud Boys. Did you? Far-right organization, chauvinist organization?
Yeah, they consider themselves Western chauvinists, probably meaning they think they put Western culture above all other cultures.
Well, we're going to figure this out. There was a brawl between right and left on the streets of New York, no less. 83rd Street, Manhattan, on the east side outside a Republican club. We'll get to Alice in moments, but first, you got a winner for the Rascals tickets.
I do. Congratulations to Bill Seelock from Bethpage. He won tickets to see the Rascals Friday, October 26th at Town Hall. I think we're giving away tickets every day this week at 8:30 to win tickets to see the Rascals. You want to tune in at 8:30.
Who doesn't love the Rascals?
On a Sunday afternoon, it's a beautiful.
That is my all-time favorite song.
Really?
I love that song. It's a beautiful morning, except when, except when you have to get up at 3 to do a radio show.
That's it.
For the first 30 seconds at 3, it ain't so beautiful. That gets pretty good.
I was grooving on a Sunday afternoon yesterday.
Good times?
Yeah, I was watching Fauda, that show that
Netflix. Yeah. That's a great series.
Oh, terrific. I watched three back-to-back episodes. Couldn't take myself away.
Exciting day you had. Alice Stockton, Rossini on the east side. Alice, what? So this happened Friday night. Do you want to set this thing up for us?
Yes, Gavin McGinnis. He founded the Proud Boys in 2016. It's a nationalist men's club. And he was scheduled to speak at the Metropolitan Republican Club here on the Upper East Side about deep state socialists, which that's kind of like Alex Jones territory, kind of radical, right wing. Also, he was going to talk about Western values. And after the speech, about two dozen of his Proud Boys came out of the club, and about the same number of protesters were waiting. And both groups consider each other to be a danger to society, and they just started fighting and screaming slurs, and they were throwing things at the Metropolitan Club. They broke a window. They spray painted on the front door. One protester, you can see it on a video, he's writhing on the sidewalk, and the Proud Boys are kicking him. Three people are charged with assault. And what's confusing is everybody assumed that, you know, the Proud Boys were the ones being charged with assault, but it is three members of the anti-fascist group that have been charged with assault. And so that left people somewhat confused. And the next thing you know, Governor Cuomo saying, well, I'm going to do an investigation. I'm going to send in the state police. And the mayor got mad and said, you know, no thanks. The NYPD can handle that. And basically people here on the Upper East Side think the NYPD can handle it, but they're concerned about what happened here on the east side on Friday night.
I live right upstairs. Well, I thought it was ridiculous. I think people should be able to say what they want to say, and I think protest is part of the political heritage, and people should be able to protest, but they got very violent, and they vandalized the building, and I thought that was absolutely ridiculous, and there's no place for it, and I think they should have all been arrested. That's what I think.
Both sides?
No.
Just the one side.
Yes.
Which side would that be?
The protesters.
So that would be the left side.
Yes, the left side. Yes. Yes, I do.
That had a problem with the guy from the right that was speaking at the club.
Yes, I think he should have the right to speak in this country. Yes.
People taking sides. What else is new in 2018?
Well, listen to this woman. She's on the other side.
But I think it's much more representative of our life. I mean, this is an attack. And if you ask certain people from the extreme right, they will say that it's a setup from the radical Democrats. And if you're in this neighborhood, you're going to find that radical either way doesn't exist. People here are, I would say, moderates. That's totally appropriate to have protests.
Now, there are those who say that we're headed for a civil war in this country.
Well, I think people are going to have attacks. I think Trump better be careful, because there are probably going to be a lot of attacks on his life. Because there are people that are so angry. And
do you think he's fueling this anger?
Absolutely.
Wow, that's pretty harsh, Alice.
So that, yeah, it's like, yeah, it's one side or the other. And then we've got Grant, who's kind of, you know, he just thinks this is America and things like this should be allowed.
I couldn't make out any of the words that they were saying, but they were upset. Actually, I really liked it, just because it sort of shows there's freedom of speech. I mean, it seems that people don't protest or do much anymore, and I thought that it was very healthy. I think America is supposed to be all about freedom of speech and freedom of assembly.
Wow, you got a lot of people with a lot of thoughts. No shortage of opinions up there, Alice.
Right. Well, the very next night, the Proud Boys marched in Portland, Oregon, and there was a Black Lives Matter protest, and they got into it, and it became a much bigger brawl, and viral videos are being investigated there. But I can tell you this, these anti-fascist groups, I ran into them at the Republican convention and at the Democratic convention. They were the ones burning the flags. They were the ones that were really getting heated at both of the conventions and fighting and throwing things. So, you know, it doesn't matter what side you're on. When you start hurting people, I mean, they were setting things on fire outside of the inauguration. Remember when bottles were throwing during the inauguration, people they started attacking buildings in Washington, D.C. I mean, when it starts getting that crazy, that's not a protest. I don't know what message you're trying to get across when you start getting violent and people are getting hurt and flags are being burned and buildings are being vandalized. So that's the problem with both sides. Both sides are violent and both sides are now getting into regular clashes across the country. And as we head into the midterms, you know, I just wonder if we might be seeing more of this kind of activity.
Civil war, Alice.
Well, I'm going to say, my quote is going to be, there are plenty of bad people on both sides. Not good people. All right, thanks, Alice. Appreciate it, kid.
All right, guys.
Talk to you later.
I wonder if Alice is a member of the Metropolitan Republican Club.
I would vote no.
I don't think so.
The president just tweeted.
Oh, he did?
Significant.
Uh-huh.
Just spoke to the king of Saudi Arabia, who denies any knowledge of whatever may have happened to, quote, our Saudi Arabian citizen, unquote. He said they're working closely with Turkey to find answer. I am immediately sending our Secretary of State to meet with King.
Oh, well, he's on top of it.
So there you go.
He's on top of it.
That's the latest
on
that.
For the press.
Hey, we got a lot to talk about coming up, Michael.
We do?
Yeah. Well, first of all, we got a bunch of entertainment news, but they said it wouldn't last.
What?
Oh, well, it didn't. Pete and Ariana.
Oh, I'm so sad.
It's all coming up. And we'll have another chance at $1,000 coming your way at 9:05. But first, let's check out traffic now. Here's Bernie Viter.
And a very good Monday morning to you. I've got some entertainment news for you. So Ariana Grande, or Grandy, as Linda
Grande.
Calls. Grande.
Grande. Can you pronounce it right?
Ariana Grande Latte.
Yeah, I said Grandy earlier.
You did.
My bad.
Ariana and her fiancé, SNL cast member Pete Davidson, they've split up. They've called off the engagement. They recognize they may have rushed into things a little quickly, and she's leaving him for our associate producer Anthony, who she's always been in love with all these years.
Absolutely.
So he bought her a $93,000 pear-shaped ring.
What's going to happen to that?
I don't know. Who gets the ring? What happens when you break off an engagement? What do you do with the ring?
I think it should be returned.
Hmm? Oh, yeah, she should return it. And to tell you the truth, I bet you he'll make money off of it, because if he sells Ariana Grande's engagement ring,
absolutely,
wow, it'll be worth a little bit more.
Maybe this is all about that.
Now, this thing happened pretty quickly between the two of them. I think they met, and within a month, they were running around engaged. She even bought a $16 million apartment. There's got to be a financial imbalance there. He cannot possibly making the kind of money that she makes.
He said he was living off her. He said that. He was on, they worked it into an SNL bit a couple weeks ago.
I got engaged, and no one could believe it, and I can't believe it, and yeah, I get it. She's the number one pop star in the world, and I'm that guy from SNL that everyone thinks is in desperate need of more blood.
Made fun of himself there.
I'm totally comfortable being with a successful woman. I think it's dope. I live at her place, you know? She pays like $60,000 for rent, and all I have to do is like stock the fridge. Yeah.
Good stuff. Ariana
Anthony,
Grande.
If you're a gold digger, get to work here.
Come on, Anthony.
I'd like to live in a $16 million apartment with a pop star. Come on, get in there. You can stock the fridge,
I
have no doubt.
I don't know if Anthony can stock the fridge. I'm worried about that.
He can stock the bar, I'm sure. Definitely stock the bar. All right, well, Ariana Grande is on the market again. This is kind of a touching story. Michael Bublé, he says he may quit music after his son has been battling cancer. He says that he now knows what's most important in his life, taking care of his son, and that he just finds the whole star thing and performing and running around in the spotlight. It's just not what he wants out of life anymore. He wants to be with his child who has battled cancer. Three-year-old son Noah was diagnosed with liver cancer, but he's been doing okay. But Bublé wants to put aside showbiz and spend time with his three-year-old son Noah.
That would be a loss. I really like him. If I lose someday, then I'll all turn up. You'll make me work so we can work to work it out. And I promise you, kid, that I'll get so much more than I get. Just haven't met you yet. He's good.
Good song.
Bublé's
really good. I don't think he'll be gone forever. I hope that his son Noah survives the battle with cancer, and maybe if the kid does, Bublé will come back. But he's a good singer. I like
him. By the way, you probably wondered where Kanye West went after he left the Oval Office.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, he showed up in Uganda, of course.
Really?
I don't know. But he's making pretty much as much sense over there.
I just want to talk about mind control. You know, when people try to influence you through social media and try to tell you what to do, or if you post something that's like positive on Instagram and it gets taken down, if it's not a part of a bigger agenda, you know, that's like mind control.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no idea. I have no idea what this guy's saying.
It's exactly what I thought. Bingo. He nailed it. I thought he hit it out of the park.
That was it. You got it, Sue.
Hey, so what's this play you see? You were all excited by a play. Is it a musical comedy?
No, it's a play. It's a play.
Well, who wants to see just a straight play?
Because plays are great. It's called The Ferryman. Came from London. Big hit in London. It's about to open on Broadway. I went to a preview Friday night. And it's really exciting. It's about the IRA. You know what that is, Len?
That's
Irish
your
Republican
Army. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
It's not your retirement account.
No, it is not my retirement account. And it has all sorts of twists and turns, and a body was discovered in a swamp, and the body may have been killed by the person may have been killed by the IRA, but the past comes back to haunt a family. And I'm not going to spoil it for you, but there are some twists and turns in the second act and some scenes of stage violence that'll have you jumping out of your seat.
So it's clearly not a musical comedy.
No, it's not a musical comedy, but it's a very rich, fun, it's a good play.
Is it fun when people, like, real blood when they're killing each other on stage? A lot of fun. Sounds like a good time.
Just say this. You don't expect the death scenes to happen the way that they do.
Well, you do.
But it's exciting.
Now you've
ruined it. Want me to tell you who gets killed?
Yeah, please.
No, I'm not going to.
Spoiler alert. Hey, what's the movie deal here? First Man finished third, which is
pathetic.
A little bit surprising. This vermin is running away, making gazillion dollars.
It's not vermin, it's venom. Okay, it's not vermin, it's venom.
Vermin.
No, it's the movie First Man. First Man, Ryan Gosling as Neil Armstrong.
Venom.
Rave reviews, but it only took in $16 million, whereas Venom, not vermin.
Vermin.
Once again, clocked in at almost $40 million, and A Star is Born with Lady Gaga, $28 million. So,
wow.
I don't know. It's kind of sad, though, because everyone likes this Neil Armstrong movie, and it seems to be a movie about a human being, but human being movies don't do well. They want to see all this.
Exactly.
These superhero kind of nonsense.
Exactly. That's why Venom is doing so well.
Yeah, $40 million again this week, and it got terrible, terrible reviews. So, all right, when we come back, we've got the TV morning show mashup for you. That's going to be fun. We put together all the best bits from the morning show, so that's coming up. And your chance at $1,000 is coming up. But first, let's get the news at 9 o'clock.